This is a Pinball News production.
Hi, my name is Steve Ritchie, and I make pinball machines. And I am very glad to be here tonight. This show is really great because there are so many pinball machines. That's probably the most unique thing about the show, for me anyway. I walk in, I see this giant room full of pinballs, more than I've seen at any other show, honest to God. And it's very impressive. I love how the place is lit up, you know. It's just it's a completely different and new kind of show, and I really enjoy being here. I'm a pinball designer, and this is kind of like this is the uniform of a pinball. It's mostly what you guys are wearing, jeans and a t-shirt, you know. And sometimes I think about putting on a suit, you know, and speaking, but I just can't bring myself to do that. But I cut my hair, and it's really cool. I make sure to cut my hair and make it nice and short and looks nice, you know. And I use this thing called a Flobe. It connects up to your vacuum cleaner, and it plugs in the wall. It's got a motor, you know, and it kind of sucks the hair in. Everything's all the same length, and it's great if you want to look like a tennis ball. And I kind of do, you know, but I'm okay with that. I've been making pinball machines for about 35 years, and I have tons of great experiences, things that I remember fondly, some things that I don't even want to think about. And I'm going to take you on a little tour here with some pictures. They're not in really any special order. In fact, they kind of jump around, and they're not all about pinball, but they're about people at pinball. And of course, motorcycles. Motorcycles are a big part of, and should be a big part of everyone's life, I think. I don't know. Anyway, this is Spider-Man Black. I took this picture at Stern Pinball, and I think we can move to the next one. That shouldn't be there, but it is. That's an old car I had. I like to drive fast and get in trouble with the police, and we'll get to that later. This is a few of my friends. I shouldn't be putting these up right away, but anyway, some dirt bike friends in Clear Creek, California. We like to get real muddy, and it's weird. It's very weird. You know, it's macho. This is that's a bad picture. This is like, but that was taken at the Black Knight 2000 tour, I call it. We went to Europe with Black Knight 2000, and the first stop was Germany, Hamburg. Our largest distributor was there, Nova Operate, and they had a great party for Black Knight 2000. It wasn't as great as another story I'm going to tell you about, but it was fun. And Black Knight 2000 was received well there. Thanks a lot. This is a view of Spider-Man Whitewood in the office. You know, I'm wondering, is this mic work better? No, that one doesn't work better. Okay, great.
It's fine.
Well, I'm looking for a certain effect that isn't working right now, but that's okay. All right. Anyway, this game is this is Spider-Man. It's a Whitewood, and you know we're pretty close to the end here. I threw it in there because it's, you know, it's interesting to see what the game looks like without any artwork, of course. And actually, there's not even any plastics on this one. And this is Lyman Sheets, and it's like a big dirty laundry hamper. And when you walk in, it smells like that. It's kind of pretty nasty, actually. I have to beg him because I have to work in there. He's connected up to the computer. I can't move the game to my office. At this point, he has it in his office, and any work I want to do to it at this point, I have to go in there, and it's nasty. But he did clean it up since then. That was about 2 years ago, I guess. This is the conference room at Stern. It kind of looks like the normal conference room. I wish I could walk over there. Maybe I can with this one. Test 1, 2. Does it work?
Yeah.
Hey, good. No, we're not going that far. It's 2 feet long. All right. Well, at this end of the at this end of the conference room, you can see these pound marks where Gary goes, title, 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 Gary Stern, you know, screaming like that. And there's some spittle out there on the table. And this is the dead rat stain. It's like it's a spot on the floor that kind of looks like a dead rat, and it really does. It's all nasty. And I bet you that spot's been there. Well, it was there the whole time I was at Stern, 7 years. The spot never got clean. None of the carpets ever did. It's kind of funky. Please. This is her name is Party. She's like a final inspector at Stern Pinball, and she's very meticulous. She's from India, and she has a very thick accent. A sweetheart of a person. We're good friends. Well, for 7 years, I called her Party, P-A-R-T-Y, and her name was B-H-A-R-D-I, because I don't hear too good. So that's Party. I learned this. I like to call this picture Punishment for Spider-Man. He might have been on the game, but it didn't work out. The toy was too expensive, and I had to fight to keep Doc Ock in the game. Big battles, screaming battles with the president. And what is that, another view? You think it's another view? Oh, yeah, look, it's slightly twisted. Oh, thanks. Wow, that's an interesting picture. I don't know what it is. Oh, I know what it is. It's a black Spider-Man being ready for shipping on the end of the line. And more black Spider-Man pictures. I was kind of fascinated by the, I don't know, the night lighting in the factory. These are taken at 8 o'clock at night or so. And this is the back glass. And we have, this is actually a finished black Spider-Man game sitting in line. And one more. That's the lineup of the games. You see, if they have play fields in the cabinets at this point, they go ahead and cover them up overnight so they don't get dirty. The last three at this end don't have any play fields in them. Yes, sir. This is Matt Cristiano. You ever seen this guy? It's kind of a strange case. Actually, he's got about 100 pinball machines in a nice building south of us here. Great guy and a pinball fan. And he likes facial hair a lot. This is Mike Redoble. We have a lot of strange people in pinball, and he's very happy here. And this is, on the right, is Ray Tanzer. He's like, I guess you could call him the manager of the engineering department at Stern Pinball. And a good guy, great leader, good time. He's made some good games in his time also. And that's Sheridan Osler, the brother of Barry Osler, the game designer from Williams that did Comet and a lot of other games, Cyclone, Popeye. Let's bring up Popeye. Way to go, Steve. All right. This is Dennis Nordman, okay, Whitewater, Blackwater, come to think of it, Valley game, a very early game. Right here he's saying, "Hey, Steve, I stuck my hand in a snowblower. Wow, that's great. I'm happy about it." Oh, Dennis, how could you be such a jerk, you know, I mean, stick your hand in there. And that's for you, Steve, and everybody else that makes fun of my voice, okay, and my hand. This is an early 24 version. It's not that early. We had some changes since then, but this is actually in Dwight's room. And interesting game. I probably spent not as much time as I normally do at the company making this game because it just wasn't possible. Things were starting to tail down, and I think things are getting a little bad with money, so they didn't send me out very often. This is a weird thing. I have this at my booth right now. This is a flash menu. It's a menu for an Italian restaurant. Okay, well, we were in 1980. We were walking through Milan and on our way to a trade show. I think we were showing Firepower? No. Yeah, Firepower. And we came across this restaurant. And it's called Flash, and painted all over the building, and it's red and yellow and blue, you know, and you walk in, and there's a big mural of the whole thing, like isn't that kind of like almost the ugliest back glass you ever saw in your life? Kind of, I don't know, you know. Anyway, the whole game was Flash. We walked in, and we told them we were from Williams. Immediately, they panicked and thought we were going to sue them for everything they had, so they brought us a lot of free meals, and we kept these real grim looks on our face like that, and they go, "Ah, thanks for the food, we're leaving. You got some menus? We're not going to bother you. All right, thanks, bye." That's the story of the Flash menu. This is, these people, I don't want to even call them people. They're like, they're heathens. They're in the United Kingdom, and they have this show called the U-King Pin Show. And Actually, it's one of the most fun experiences of my life. Great show. We have a couple of attendees here. We have Martin Iob over here with the camera, having his hand up in the air, and we have Gary Flower here, both Englishmen and very dedicated pinball aficionados. Anyway, I'm playing somebody's game here. I'm not sure whose it is, but it worked perfectly, and I really enjoyed it. Oh, no, this is... We're going to have a little lesson on dirt bikes here. I know it's a little weird to be talking about dirt bikes in the middle of a pinball thing, but this is a friend of mine who kind of like, he's very competitive, and we're in Mexico, in Baja, Mexico, riding dirt bikes, and he's a master of disaster, but only on his own body, and he actually ran into me with his motorcycle and ended up crashing, and then he couldn't ride for the next 3 days. I know this guy. I forgot his name, though. Now it's Jim Shellberg, and I think this was taken at the, Pinball Museum? That might be Jim Shellberg's car. I think that's what he's done to it since. You know, he likes to add stuff on it, and it's pretty cool. Sure. Oh, this is my friend Larry. Larry's cool. Look at that wheelie. It's so bitchin'. You ever say that word, bitchin'? We say that in California. When it comes to motorcycles and cars, we say, you probably got to be like almost 60, but, you know, that's a bitchin' wheelie, okay? All right, here he is, and the next slide is broken arm. And he's, like, getting up, and actually, I filmed this thing with a camera. I was making a video. It was a video of dirt riding, and, he fell and broke his arm, and after about four or five more incidents of people, I stopped trying to be a dirt bike videographer. This is another busted-up person. You ride dirt bikes, this is what happens. And this is Devil King, a game you never saw. It's an interesting pinball, and it was like, I think it was German. No, it was Italian. And we played some games on it and thought, wow, that's a weird name. Look at that guy in the back glass. This was the debut of Star Trek The Next Generation at a trade show. I don't know who's playing there, but we got Mr. Klingon and the Jocker. This is another weird, you know, people don't know how to spell, you know, the Jocker. And what does the Jocker do? I mean, whoa, think about that for a minute. The Jocker, okay. This is me standing next to John Borg. But that's not actually John Borg. That's some lady, but she was very nice, and she tried to act like she was part of a hive or something. What game is that? What game is it? No one knows. Gary, you're not interpreting.
Roller games were suggested.
You think it's roller games?
And high speed has been...
Oh, you know. You knew. You didn't know before that. This is what high speed looked like in the very beginning. See, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty pinball history stuff. Ron's pretty upset because I'm not staying on topic. All right.
Steve, didn't you have an alternative spelling?
You're trying to talk to me from there after all these years?
Didn't the original have a different spelling of the word high?
Aren't you supposed to be here?
No.
I beg you, sir.
High speed. Didn't you mess around with the spelling?
H-I was never an option. A long time ago, I made a game called High Speed with an H-Y, but it never became anything. It was just a drawing I made, you know. But it was never called High Speed with H-I. I'm sorry that I don't have a moderator. It's probably because I didn't let him introduce me, and I really wanted him to. Anyway, a lot of things changed between the time we made this game and the final version, as you can see. Or maybe you don't know high speed. This is an overhead view, but the upper left-hand side is completely, you know, different. And the cross shot is there. Notice we have our initials, you know, and rubbed on letters. You know, it's mine and Larry's and Python Angelo's on the lower right. This is what it finally looked like. This was about the last Whitewood, I think, and another old picture, nice top-down. And Larry DeMar sits just to the right of that, and he was programming on a daily basis, and we screamed and yelled at each other. And this is a great story. One day, we're in this locked room. We work in this big office. It's like because Pinball was nearly dead when I got back in 1985. The factory is kind of dark, and there were plenty of open offices, and we found this really cool, you know, actually it was a sound studio, and we got the whole sound studio and the, you know, the area where the instruments would normally be and all that, and so we got to work in there and had a lock and key, and I left my key somewhere, I don't remember, locked inside, and I left the room, so I knock on the door. "Go away." That's Larry. And I knock on the door. "Get the fuck out of here." That was nice. Great greeting. And then after that, I knock again. I go, "Larry, it's me, Steve. Use your key, stupid." Okay. My key's locked inside. All right. Well, he gets up and he's got this. It's an indescribable look. Indescribable. And we don't want to talk about that anymore. We're back to the early version, and there's like, I don't know, there's not much else there. Another high-speed picture. Ooh, it's cool. This is like, I didn't have anything to do with the car, I just like them. I like Ferraris. I wish I could have one. Anyway, this is another Spooky. Man, that's a bad name for a pinball, I think. Spooky. This picture again, I don't even know why it's in there once. Okay, it's in there twice.
Hit the bypass.
Testing, 1, 2. This one works.
I am the Black Knight. I will slay you. I will bore you to death. Wait, who's that guy? Shao Kahn.
I'm getting a headache. Test 1, 2. Does this one still work? Anyway, what does Black Knight say here? He says,
"I dye my hair."
Can we have the next slide, sir? This is Ed Boon. Ed Boon, special character, an incredible programmer, a hilarious guy, great friend. Such a geek. What do you think? It's cool. Anyway, he's a code master. He's also the father of Mortal Kombat. Is that the name of the game? Yeah. And lots of other games. Ed worked on F-14 Tomcat. That was his introduction to pinball, and he sort of grunted for us, and we treated him like shit. And actually, he was a great guy, and we didn't treat him badly. We were nice. He does everything perfect. He totally prides himself on, you know, perfection, and his code was wonderful, and one day we came in, and the display said, "Destroy enemies," with a Y, Y-N-M, destroy enemies, and I go, "Enemies, what's that?" It took him a week to get rid of the Y, but he did get rid of it. In the process, he became a master game and rules guy. This is Terry Carlton. I don't know if you know this guy, but he's like a world-class musician. Awesome drummer. You need to get down to the... What's the name of that place?
Bones and Knives.
The what?
Bones and Knives.
One more time in the ear.
Oh, Bones and Knives? Oh, the...
Bones and Knives. I don't want to hear that. The place you play.
The Fairmont.
That's right. He plays at the Unfairmont often on Friday nights. Fairmont Hotel. I'm sorry. I don't want to mess with that. All right. Test. Test 1, 2. I don't even know why I said that.
Give me your money.
It says in the IPBD, the Internet Pinball Database. It says in there that somebody else did the voice, but they didn't do the voice. I did the voice. Can't help it. Anyway, back to Ed Boon. Ed Boon, I just remember him for this one phrase. One day he came up, you know, and there's always something to do on a pinball, all the way from the beginning of the end of the production till you get to the line. There's always something to do. And he walked up to me, and he was very young, and he said, "I'm all done with my projects." "No, you're not. There's about a million things to do still." And I played that back for him every time. This is a bunch of people at, I guess this was 1987. I think it was in, name of that town that, the Big Easy, what's the name of it? Oh, yeah, New Orleans. Okay, this was in New Orleans. That's Roger Sharp on the left, and we're standing at High Speed. I think this was the High Speed show, actually. And Roger's a good friend, great guy. I always paid him to give me really good reviews on my games. It's an important part of moving ahead. And this is Roger, and he's saying, how do you like this pose? How do you like that pose? This is four of us. This is that's the guy on the left over there is, Hans Rosenzweig. He's like the king of pinball in Germany. He was. Nova Operates. What did they call him? A long word. It was nasty. And then the next guy is Eugene Jarvis, and that's someone ugly. And this is Joe Quadri. Okay, this night, I was at a club with them. And it wasn't a club. It was a restaurant. And it was called Finland House. And the guy on the left said, okay, dinner's over. We're going to have espresso. Great. So we all had espresso. Then he goes, grappa. Okay, now we have a glass of grappa. And I don't know if you know what grappa is, but it's a very powerful liqueur made from the stems and seeds of grapes and skins. It doesn't taste half as good as the word grappa sounds. Then after that, we had another espresso, and then a grappa, and then an espresso, and then a grappa. And that's what I was doing in bed all night. Down 1 hour, whoa, whoa, over and over again. And I did not look good in the morning. Actually, this might be the night of that morning after. I'm not sure. Roger Sharp, he's not happy that I said, how do you like this pose? I'm bad. There it is. I'm bad. I'm a punk. That's what I am, a punk. This is in Hamburg. I don't even know why the picture's in there, but this is a very old picture. And I love this picture. I haven't seen it in years, and I just got to see it. It's like, this was, I don't know, I forgot what magazine it's for, and I'm not even sure what game it's for. It kind of looks like High Speed, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Can anybody see the, or yeah. Is it High Speed?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's, the guy on the very end is Barry Osler, and next to him is my brother Mark. And right there on the far left side is Steve Kordek. And this is how we used to make pinball machines, with Mutual drafting machines and, these big electric tables that went up and down. And I'll tell you one thing they were great for, though. When you finished a drawing, or at any point, you could take the drawing and turn it around vertically and then take your inclinometer and set the play field. And set the play field for 6.5 degrees. I could bend a piece of metal, and I would make a track. Well, I would use a piece of my beam compass that was like, it's like a little trough that I could roll the ball in a precise angle. So I would lay that on there and maybe call somebody else in to hold down these rubber sticks. And, well, I could basically check every shot before I made a whitewood. It was an important part of, and I think a pretty cool advantage. And I just play with toys until I get it right. That's kind of one of the things that I did. This is Steve Kordek saying, yeah, this is High Speed, but it's also high cost. And we have to take this out and that and this. Actually, he never did that at all. He was very helpful. Very good with clever fixes. I don't think this is the same day because, well, you can tell who the guy is that's working. The guy with his sleeves rolled up. The rest of them are standing around talking and wearing ties. They're not working on a pinball machine. This is the uniform of a pinball designer. Okay. This is Larry DeMar standing next to Bonsai Run at, I think it was the debut show. Or this could be one at an arcade. It might be Vegas World, an interesting arcade in Hamburg. This is an interesting group. I think that's Pat Lawler on the far left. He's not looking that happy. Then Ward Pemberton. And then after that is Barry Osler in the back row, then Joe Kamenko, Jim Patla, and Claude Fernandez. And who's that, John?
Norris.
Norris, right, I'm sorry. Jerry?
Armstrong.
Yeah. And then Rob Burke, he runs the Pinball Expo. And then there's Dennis Nordman, he goes, did you see that chick in the third row? And I'm going, she's hot. You're not here, are you, Diana? Anyway, I'm not sure, but, oh, yeah, this is like, dude, we're in Vegas, man. Take a picture of this side, okay? That's how it came out. T2 Pinball was at the Silver City Casino, and they actually put it up on their marquee. Anyway. Lose the shirt. This is, actually, it was made by that company right up there, Unterhaltung. And, This is in Hamburg, and these are the dreaded gambling machines they had there then, and they were taking too much money and taking money away from pinball earnings. So eventually, though, they became rooms full of those instead of pinballs. And this is Ed Boon and me saying, how do you like this pose? The El Dorado Arcade, another place in Hamburg. Interesting tours, good people. This is, I think Gary knows these people better than I do. The guy on the right is Philip, I know that. The guy on the left is drinking wine, so he's probably not coherent, maybe. I don't know, he looks too happy. The guy in the middle, I forgot his name, but he was our host at a cricket match. Now, in cricket in England, I don't mean to offend you guys or anything, but, you know, they like the whole team would be out there and playing and everything, and then ding, and they all run off the field to have tea. Well, everyone else is like, what? You know, stand around. Actually, what you do is you drink a lot and talk to all your friends. That's what you do. Then the team comes back out, and you look up in the sky, and you think, oh, it's a nice day. And then the referee comes out and says, we're going to call the game because of bad light. Bad light? What's that? It's like, it just has to be kind of gray. Bad light, and the game can be called. A cricket game can take 3 days. Can you imagine this? 3 days? Damn. You do a lot of drinking. That's my favorite dirt bike in the world. Some professional photographer took this of me during a race about 3 years ago. And it's just like, to me, it's beautiful because there's so much green. In Hollister, it turns into Ireland. It really does. It's green and beautiful. It's an incredible place. And ripping it up with a dirt bike, it's just so unbelievably fun. You can't imagine. Dwight Sullivan, and I think he's at WMS now. And this is Gary Stern. I have no other comment. This is Keith Johnson, good friend, great guy, another amazing programmer and rule maker, awesome. Definitely a pinball man through and through. We did World Poker Tour together and had a great time. And he's working at Raw Thrills now. He's working on a video game, I believe. Can we have the next one? And another shot of Keith. This is on Lonnie Ropp's office in Stern. That couch he's sitting on was shortly thereafter removed because it contained a family of 20 mice, I think. And it sat there for about 15 years in one spot. No cleaning. This is an early version of T3. Actually, it's not that early. It's pretty late. Now we don't even see that. It's me saying, oh, when are we going to race? Oh, this is cool. I really took this picture. I mean, I'm driving down the road out where we live in Hollister, and there's this giant tarantula. And they freeze up when you get near them, so I thought I'd throw my glove down next to them and demonstrate the size of this bugger. Anyway, they're cool. And this is a friend of mine named Dave Solentano. Why is he there? Well, he's making my side armor right now for Spider-Man. And you can see this at steverchiepinball.com, and you need to go there if you have a Spider-Man. That was a shameless plug. And this is... You laughed? I'm hurt. It comes up and you laugh. That's great. Yeah, I'd laugh too, though. I wish I had that much hair still. I got this cool ring on, too. I had it for a long time. It had, like, a crescent moon. It was totally hippie with a star and stuff. And $3. I don't know. I'm totally excited, believe it or not. Well, that's Flash on the drawing board. And my life is about to change forever. After leaving from Atari and struggling with, you know, a place that didn't really know how to make pinball machines and moving to a giant factory. And everything was all new, totally exciting. I had a team of people who knew actually a hell of a lot more than I did about pinball, and I had all the help in the world. And it was an awesome experience. That was Flash. And I think that's the last slide, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, I'm going to tell another little story. How much time do I have left?
All the time in the world.
Okay, good. In 19... Was that Clay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Anyway, I In 1988, we finished up Black Knight 2000, and we were taking on a tour. You saw this, me sticking my head. Well, that was the first show that we hit. It was called the EMA show in Germany, and the second show was in Paris, and we were really excited about this. The Parisian distributor was an interesting guy. He was, let's call him Pierre, because I don't want to use his real name. I just can't. And he had a boyfriend, okay? But he would borrow his first lieutenant's wife to kind of hide the fact, but everybody knew and nobody didn't know. But he would always have this guy, and I mean this lady, and she would sit next to him. Anyway, he was like an amazing salesperson. He did a fantastic job of selling pinball machines, and he was a good guy, no doubt. Anyway, he threw this huge party, and we arrive at about, I don't know, we arrive in Paris at 7 o'clock, and they take us down the Champs-Élysées, and there's this huge nightclub cabaret, and I can't believe that this is where he's having the event, but he has this event there, and we get out, and there's, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people, and all the operators and distributors in Paris, and I guess in France. They were serving canapés and champagne and outside, and then it was getting kind of cold, and he called everybody in. We had a very nice dinner. It was unbelievable, unforgettable, actually. And they were speaking in French. I didn't understand everything, and they were introducing a few products, but they saved Black Knight 2000 for the last. So it's after dinner, and they have the doors open, and it's in the back, and Pierre gets up on the stage, and he says something in French. I don't know what's going on. And then the music started playing from Black Knight 2000. You know, and right when it gets to the "You Got the Power," right when it gets to that part, the curtains open up, and this giant black horse, okay, with a knight dressed in armor, all real, okay, comes out on the stage. Turns to face the audience, rears up, the audience goes crazy. They love it, they're clapping and everything. Our horse is kind of prancing around and everything, and then the horse stops moving completely and lets everything go. Everything. And we're talking garden hose diameter. Okay. Squirting, splashing, steamy, stinky, nasty, getting on people, the dance floor. It's all over everything, and you know, that was the killer. At that point, everybody went, oh! Okay, Pierre starts crying and forgets all about the fact that he borrowed his wife and runs to his boyfriend, and they're like hugging. It was hilarious. I'm sorry. I don't want to make fun of him. I don't want to, but it was hilarious. Anyway, it's awful, okay? And everybody starts going out the doors, and the whole thing is steaming. I mean, so, and it smells bad. We all go outside. And people are almost crying. They're screaming and still talking about it outside the thing. And I was with Marty Glazeman, the vice president of sales at Williams. And we were thinking, geez, dude. I mean, what do you do? What do you say? This is a good omen for the product. I don't think so. You know, it's like, anyway, I mean, how are we going to pull this out? You know, we didn't have to, it turns out. You know, after everyone is totally disgusted, no one leaves the party because it's the best party on earth and it's in Paris and they're serving, you know, the best champagne and the spectacular, and everybody's going back in to dance and everything else. They got three bands, three orchestras, and that's the way they do things in Europe. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, after about 15 minutes, you know, well, not 15 minutes, after about 5 minutes, okay, all these waiters came out and brought everybody drinks, so everybody's a little more drunk, and then these people come out in white coats and stuff with shovels and brooms and disinfectant and mops and everything, clean up the whole place. They open up a back door and they get this good breeze going through, and they got all the smell out pretty much. And out in front, everybody started cracking up in a huge laugh. I mean, it was ridiculous. So we all filed back in, and Pierre got up on the stage and said, "I'm very sorry, apologize." He apologized to me, you know, and I just said, you know, that's the way it goes, you know. And he passed out more drinks, and then he went around the room and pulled off the wraps on Black Knight 2000, and they all ran to plan. We had 12 of them, I think, there, and it came off well in the end. strange story, though. I don't know if you guys know about high speed, but there's a story behind that, too. If you don't want to hear it, you can. Usually somebody wants to, but if you don't want to hear it, I'm cool with that.
Hear it.
Oh, no. Who said that? For high speed's based on a true story. And I had a Porsche 928. Because I don't know. I had a 1979. It was before I came back. It was 1983. And I had had it for a couple months. And I wanted to make the car go as fast as I could. And it was cool on country roads. But you wouldn't be going, over 100 miles an hour or anything like that. So one morning, everything was right. The sun was out. The brakes were good. The tires were good. And we left early and got on I-5, leaving the Sacramento area. And I-5 at that time was a brand new freeway. It was like four lanes in each direction and only used by tomato trucks and that kind of stuff in the right lane. And this was the day. So I floored it. My partner's with me. And, I talked to him. I said, "You okay with this?" He had a lot of fast cars. He was okay with it. So we made the car go as fast as it would go, which was 146 miles an hour. And it was smooth as glass, totally just normal. I like to drive and ride fast, so I was okay with it totally. And the weird thing is the speedometer only goes to 85 miles an hour. And we calculated it from the tachometer, which is easy to do. And they had a law that at that time. So I cruised down the road. I went as fast as it would go, I would say, for about 10 or 15 miles. And, when we passed cars and stuff, I slowed down. But then I'd go back up all the way to Floyd. And I would say I went another 10 miles. And we came over this hill. And my partner goes, "That's a highway patrolman." Okay, so I backed off to 70. And he went over the hill, and I kept going. Wah! Hit the gas pedal again, up to 146 miles an hour. And then, I just kept going about another 20 miles, and after I went around this turn, there was a cop car with its lights on coming towards me in the other three lanes, and he does this huge power slide right through the median, and he's behind me now, and there's no question that he's there for me, and I'm looking at my partner, and I go, "Well, what do you think we should do?" And we're out in the middle, of the Central Valley. There's no way to go. Everything's parallel. You can see for miles. It's not like trying to run away in a city or something like they do in the movies. He told me, it's a felony running from the police. All right. So I decided to pull over. And the sheriff gets out of his car and walks over to my car. And he goes, "Sir, could you just stay in your car right there?" And I said, "Sure." And, I was worried about the silence. I don't know what he was doing. I was thinking, geez, what am I just sitting here? So a whole, three or four minutes go by. And then we hear, this is a highway patrol car screeching his brakes, slamming and sliding all the way in, into the gravel, doing a big Brody. He comes running out of the car and tries to pull me out of the window of my car. He's so angry. And I go, "Wait a minute, officer. I'll just open the door and get out." So I got out, and he put handcuffs on me and stuck my head down on the hood and searched me and all that. And then he took me over to his car and put me on the passenger side of the front seat. So I sat there and I'm just sitting there, and I can see everything that's going on. And then nine cop cars show up, from Lodi, more highway patrol. It's like, and they're all laughing and pointing at the speedometer because it only goes to 85 miles an hour. And they're all looking for either the goods we stole from someplace or drugs or something, and it's not there. They don't bother to come to ask to me, "What are you doing?" And the highway patrolman gets back in the car, and he goes, "I don't think you were running from me, were you?" And I said, "No, I didn't know you were behind me." He takes the cuffs off me, takes them off, and he says, "And yeah, you ever sat in handcuffs in a car seat like this with a seatbelt on?" Anyway, he took the cuffs off me, and he goes, "You want a cigarette?" And I go, "Sure." So we're there smoking, and he goes, "So what's the deal? Why'd you do that?" And I said, "Well, I had the car for 2 months, and I just wanted to try it out, and everything was right. Good brakes, good tires. I'm on a great road here. Beautiful sunny day, hardly any traffic. It was the right time to do it, and I just had to do it. I wanted to see how fast the car would go and, you know, just rip. And so he said, yeah, I could believe that. And let me see. You know, I really have to take you to jail right now, but luckily court's in session right this moment. So we're going to go to the courtroom. And you're going to be put before a commissioner, and he's going to, you know, well, you're going to have to plead your case, and I'll try to help you, he says. So I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. Anyway, we get to the courtroom. He's there. And, you know, the commissioner says, so why did you do it? And I said, I wanted to see how fast the car would go. And he said, I should throw you in jail, but I'm going to let you go if you promise me that you'll never do that again. And I lied and said, okay. But it did have a kind of a serious ending. I walked out of there that day, but I had to pay a fine of $250. I had restricted driving for 90 days on my record and reckless driving on my record. But then 3 months later, I went back to Williams, and the record didn't transfer, so no one knew. It was wonderful. Anyway, that's a high-speed story. And for right now, if anybody has any questions, I would love to answer them. Would you help out, please, Mr. Sure. Flowers? Thank you very much.
Any questions for Steve? No, Kevin, no.
Can you name the games that you've designed?
All of them are just pinball. Pinball.
Pinball.
My first game was Airborne Avenger, then Superman. Those are both done at Atari. After that, I did Flash for Williams. Stellar Wars, Firepower, Black Knight, Hyperball. And I left the company that time to go do a game called Devastator in my own company, which failed miserably. And I went back. Pinball was nearly dead, and we made High Speed. After that, F-14 Tomcat. Maybe Roller Games? No, might have been Getaway. Anyway, Roller Games is in there. No, Getaway. Then Roller Games. Then T2, I think. Star Trek The Next Generation. No Fair. I think that might be all my pins for Williams. After that, I went back to Atari and worked as a video producer and developed California Speed and another game called Mean Streak. After that, I began working with Gary Stimble. No, there was a redemption game in there called Corvette Dragster. And then I also made a slot machine at Williams called Mermaid's Treasure. And during the time just before I went to Gary Stern, I made a slot machine called The Vault. After I got to Stern, it was T3, Elvis. What came after it was World Poker Tour. Say that with a grimace. I kind of got forced to make that game. I didn't really enjoy it. I did what I could with Over the Playfield. And after that was, what's after that? Spider-Man, and then 24, an Avatar, which will probably never be built.
And Black Knight.
You know what? You're right. I left that out. That was from 1980. Yeah, I did leave it out. Thank you. Oh.
Are we working? Test 1, 2. Test 1. Any more questions?
There's a list of your games in, is it Star Trek, where you put in a secret code and it'll go through all your games?
Yeah, up to that point. It'll put them all up there. That's right. I don't know the code, though. I don't remember.
I'm sure it's been in the Pin Dungeon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can find it. Any other questions?
Was Firepower originally going to be multi-ball?
Yes, from the first day. And what I had to do was I had to make a multi-ball device. And if you look at it, if you look at the multi-ball device in Firepower, it's nothing more than a hole kicker that's been cut down. The same track that used to go on top of the play field to put the ball over, you know, to the ball shooter lane. It was like an uphill metal track. I took it and cut a hole in the play field and put it on the bottom of the play field and used the play field to stop the balls and lifted them up. The three switches were a little awkward, but I had to do it, and that's how it turned out. And There were better ways that we discovered later, but it worked for a pretty long time.
Secret stuff and private jokes in your games.
Private jokes in my game? I don't know. I mean, mostly I wasn't really a guy. I didn't come up with. Mostly I like to hurt people. Okay, at the factory, I don't like to play. You know, I don't like little weird things. But I know there's plenty of Easter eggs in my games, but I didn't put them there. The programmers do, and I'm not upset with that. I really don't have any, you know, hidden messages or anything like that. Paul is dead. Remember that? Any other questions?
What's the story with Avatar?
The story with Avatar is, let's see. My first thoughts are, wow, what a movie. I don't really know, how good it's going to be received, and I'm not going to talk about exactly what I saw, but I did see, I'll tell you what's available right now that you can find on the internet, and that is that I think it's going to be a spectacular movie. I think Jackson's Weta Group has been working on it for, I don't know, maybe 7 years. Huge amount of man years on this movie. It's 3D. This is public, and it's the most awesome 3D you have ever seen in your life. James Cameron invented a new camera. He has a degree in physics, and this camera. Well, you know, when you go to Walt Disney World that's about the only place I can think of where you see a 3D movie, you know, with stuff hanging out that comes out and tries to hit you in the face. And, the thing that's out in the middle in those movies is very cool, but the things in the background don't look so cool. Well, I don't know what he did or how he did it, but everything looks cool in the frame. It's a great story. It's James Cameron's return to the silver screen. And I was totally blown away, and I wanted to make a pinball machine about it. It's a love story, but it's also an action sci-fi story that I'm going to love it. And I really can't say more about that, but I can say that I started the pinball machine. I developed some toys for it, but it didn't get very far along, not even to the first Whitewood. I think I'd worked on it actually maybe 2 months, something like that.
If people come over to your booth, they can see the layout.
Yeah, you can see the layout. I have copies of them, and come by. I'm underneath the big old SRP banner.
Why Spider-Man Black?
Why Spider-Man Black? Why? Okay, I mean, Spider-Man Black, Black Spider-Man was a character. He had absorbed, you know.
Yeah, I saw the movie, but I mean, why did you go through how were you able to convince them of the expense for a real screen glass, you know, new metal hardware?
It's really simple. Gary was going to get his money back because he charged more for the game. The economics were there. And he gets involved in those kinds of things. He does like one-offs and special limited editions. In fact, it was his idea to do the mirrored back glass, which shocked the hell out of me. I had no idea. And that was in addition to the side armor, which I conceived, and some chrome work, you know. I couldn't find a better match for the rest of the artwork, so we went with chrome. But I don't hate it. I just...
But there is alternative.
Oh, much better, much better. I think it makes the game flashy and memorable, and that's why.
And will there be a return for you to Stern if you were asked?
It's going to take more than asking. If I'm paid... That would help. For those of you who don't know, I did not receive what I was supposed to receive when I left Stern. And that's a nice way to put it. Anyway, any other questions, sir?
Just thank him for making such cool games.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Thank you for making such cool games. Oh,
thank you very much. I'm very honored. Very honored. Thank you. Thank you.
So we've got some more time if there are more questions you'd like to ask. Will you talk about the non-pinball games you were involved with?
Sure. I guess Hyperball is a non-pinball. do you mean video games?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm a driving and motorcycle, enthusiast. So I love driving games, and I made a couple at Atari, California Speed and... Mean Streak. Mean Streak was an interesting game where you, it was sort of a driver and shooter. And you could also launch things out of the back of the car, and it was exciting. Sort of, I think I had, you know, a lot of members from the San Francisco Rush team. And it was looking pretty good, but Williams pulled the plug on us there. So we didn't make that game. Devastator was a first-person space-flying shooting game, and it was actually the first video game done for done on the 68,000 microprocessor. We were also the first to develop a 3D. My hardware guy invented the ability. I know this sounds dumb to convert video to NTSC video to images we could use in the video game directly. They were pretty dirty. I had to clean up every frame, but it was crude. But we were probably one of the first people to do it in color. Other games I made outside. The Vault is a slot machine. Actually, it's a topper, and it has it's built like a bank vault. It's got gates that open like this, and then another gate inside that rolls up, and then two big safe doors, and a hand wheel that spins. It's a nice looking piece. It's made in mirror finished stainless steel, and it all works. I think there's 18 motors in it, 3 flash lamps, rotating red light. Of course, you gotta have that. And maybe 3 would be better though than 1. Anyway, the Redemption game. I don't even want to describe it. They're mindless. Okay, they're kitty roulette, and I make them. There's no passion there for me to make them. My passion is with pinball and video. I really like working on video games of certain genres. My favorite games to play are mostly, if I'm going to play on the computer or on the Xbox, I like, Modern Warfare, Far Cry. I like first-person shooters. I can't help it. Anyway, that's about all I have to say about that.
Okay. Next question, Barney.
Predating Airborne Avenger, what games motivated you to get into pinball?
Oh, that's a good point. And also influenced me. When I was at Atari, before I was allowed to be a game designer, they brought in Space Shuttle. No, it was pretty cool, but I was really influenced by Captain Fantastic. And if you look at that upper right flipper, it wasn't in the place where I thought it ought to be because there was no flow really, but it was still very cool. It was another action point where the player could, get involved with the game. Any multi-flipper game allows a player to play different parts of the pinball. You have more control over the game, and it's that's an important thing. You don't need it all the time. I mean, pure pinball is the two flippers at the bottom, I suppose, if there's such a thing as pure pinball. Space Mission, I like playing mostly because it had some cool... I like the bonus system. And, I got in a lot of trouble because I didn't know what those little pins in the back did, and I started moving them around and making it. Then I figured out it made it easier, so I was playing it, and they got very upset that I did that. That was the influence of the beginning. Actually, Bob Jonesy, he wasn't really a game designer, but he showed me how to lay out a pinball machine and how to put it together at the Atari factory. And also, he was like, he was the only real pinball guy we had from Chicago who knew anything. We didn't know anything. The Atari game started as there are a bunch of guys standing around. They're going, "Hey, why don't we take the displays out of there and put them down here?" And I'm thinking, "Yeah, that'll make sure that everybody else that's playing and won't be able to see your score. Only you will." And they did some goofy things. They decided to light up the whole back box. Why have all this crap in the back box? We're going to put the play field down below in the cabinet where all the screws and hardware can fall down on it and short everything out right underneath it. Yeah, like a big catcher's mitt. Anyway, they insisted on rotary solenoids, and these are, what a contraption. Actually, these solenoids were designed to change channels on radios. A company called Ledex made them, and, if you had a ship with, or a small boat, and you have a, flying bridge and another bridge down here, you could remotely change the channel, and it was all electromechanical. And these things were not made to flip balls. They were made to change channels in a radio, so they broke. They just broke and broke. Plus, they're, you know, the stroke was very weird. I think the power was pretty linear. You know, it's like, I can't explain it. Well, what it was it converted linear motion to rotary motion by using inclined planes and little balls. You know what I mean? So it would go up and pull and rotate at the same time, but garbage. It took 2 years to talk Nolan Bushnell out of doing this stuff. Oh, and just to get him to buy, like, regular Bally flippers. And pretty soon, we were just giving up. I was giving up, and I started putting regular linear coils on my prototypes because I just couldn't stand it anymore. They were breaking. And finally, that's what we did. We used normal solenoids like everyone else.
How has your musical background influenced your pinball work?
No, it's a huge part of my life. Well, I don't know, I played guitar, I guess, since I was 13. The day I heard the Beatles is when I had to get a guitar. I got one, you know, and I kind of learned how to play, and I'm not very educated about it, but I was in a few bands with one certain gentleman back there. I didn't deserve to play with him. He's a monster. He's awesome. Anyway, I like to write songs and tunes, and you know, I'm in this good spot where I get to run a pinball machine, and I have a passion to make pinball. And I like to, well, I like what you like when you guys tell me, I like how this game is all put together. People, you know, speak and say the right thing, and the music matches to what you're doing, and it's, you know, the effects are staged, everything's right. And that's what we try to do, is generate excitement. Well, with my music, I could control a lot more of it, but I didn't really, there's not much of my actual playing in any pinball machine. It's mostly, you know, guys who've taken my tunes, like the Black Knight 2000 team. I wrote the chords and, you know, a few other things. I wrote, you know, the high score to date stuff, just some ditties. But they really made a song out of it. The bass line is what made it for Black Knight 2000. Anyway, it's like, it's been a big part of all the games, and it's another way that I can affect sort of a unification of the project. I try to you know, throw in everything I can, and everyone else can too. That's a very important thing. Someone very special is here tonight at this show. His name is Doug Watson. He's the guy who did the art for Black Knight 2000 and a lot of other games that you know. And I'm just really glad to see him, and I want to let him know that he has done some very, very fine work, maybe the finest work in pinball in the art department.
What game did you enjoy designing the most?
Wow. It's like maybe a toss-up between Black Knight 2000 and Star Trek The Next Generation, because here's what happens at a pinball factory. Somebody comes in and makes a crummy game. Popeye, are we going to bring that up again? Yeah, Popeye. Okay, the factory starts running it, the orders don't come in, they stop, everybody in the factory goes home. That's a nasty thing to deal with, too. That's like a personal responsibility that, I don't know. If you make a tough game and people have to go home, that means they're not making money. I mean, they're having a tough life. Anyway, that's not the subject here. But when somebody does a great game, Pat Waller did some great games, okay? Sometimes, you know, I made some nice pieces that ran a long time, sometimes more than a year. Well, all the rest of the designers had that whole year to work on a game, maybe a little more, okay? Sometimes I would get the same favor returned to me, and sometimes I wouldn't. I got the favor really returned nicely from Pat Waller. He made some great games that ran a long time, and I got 15 months to work on Star Trek The Next Generation. And I'm a Star Trek geek. I don't know if you know that, but anyway, I really love The Next Generation especially. So, I mean, we went to get it. I asked for the license, and we went down to Hollywood. Oh, this is an interesting story. In charge of the licensing department are three women, and they all have equal power. That was funky. That was really weird. I have nothing against women, but, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. If it was three men who had equal power, I'd probably be worse, okay? But whatever. We sat down with them. Greg Ferris was there, and Dwight Sullivan, and Roger Sharp, and myself. And we're thrilled. We are on the set of Star Trek The Next Generation, okay? We're like, we're walking on the bridge, okay? Then we go around the back and see the 2x4s and these little aquarium lights back there lighting everything up, a little motor. I don't know, but it was very cool. Anyway, we're sitting there, and these ladies come out, and they say, well, look, we don't want you firing any laser phasers or photon torpedoes. We don't want you to, you know, we want you to be like, you know, meek, okay? No weapons in the game. You know, we can't do that because we know that the captain never fires on, you know, someone's ship without being provoked, and you know, we follow the prime directive in our own lives, okay? And so and they said, what's the prime directive? They said that. At the end, we were going, we have to fire photon torpedoes and lasers, okay? I mean, phasers. The show demands it. It's in the show all the time. I mean, you know, it's depicted. Why can't we? Because you can't be violent. So I said, okay then, I'm not going to make a namby-pamby game. And that was the end of the meeting. We got on the bus to go back to the airport. And Roger Sharp, who is Mr. Diplomat, called them up and said, actually, they called back because this was like a $300,000 deal for them, maybe a little more. And I think they got royalties besides the $300,000. And Roger Sharp called back and said, how can we salvage this? He's great at that, and Roger's a great diplomat. And he did salvage it, and they put it together. And when we got back, there was only one lady in charge of licensing. And she was nice and reasonable and very intelligent. We got along great from then on. I think I can go about one more minute. And I'll tell you one thing. If you're working with Ron Chan here, the Pacific Pinball Exposition, he likes things on time, okay? I think he was pretty worried when I didn't come in here like 15 minutes before you have to go on. All right. Anyway, we're talking about a very retentive guy, all right? All right. How much time do I have? 30 seconds?
You got enough time to do a few more Black Knight voices.
Oh, really? What should I say?
Give me your money. Feedback. Test 1, 2. Is it working? I'm a deaf guy. I don't even know if it works. Testing 1, 2. See, it doesn't sound like it's working to me, is it? It is, really? Give me your money.
I think I'm going to say goodnight. One more thing, though. I would like to thank Ron Chan, Michael Sheese, all the other people who have invited me here from the Pacific Pinball Exposition. I'm having a great time, and I hope you do too. And thanks.